Welcome to season 6 of the Retail Tea Break podcast. My name is Melissa Moore, the retail advisor and Rethink Retail's top retail expert for 2024. Each week, I'll be joined by industry experts, retailers and brands to dispel the myths, share knowledge and give you an insight into the retail industry. You can listen back to previous Retail Tea Break podcast episodes on your favourite podcast platform or, of course, on YouTube. And while you're there, please do subscribe to the podcast so that you get to listen to it first every week. So in the meantime, grab that cup of tea, sit back and listen in to season 6 of the Retail Tea Break podcast. Today, I'm joined by a guest who has always had an eye on what's coming next and exciting ambitions for growth. Having started out as a trainee with Penneys, today's guest has since gone on to set up one of the first pet superstores here in Ireland. This experienced retailer took note of what pet stores across the pond were doing to develop his own successful business model. However, it was thanks to a conversation with his daughter, who happened to be living in China, that propelled today's guest to buy huge amounts of stock to be prepared before logistics channels. And then the world shut down. Anthony Gallagher, founder and MD of PetStop, welcome to the Retail Tea Break podcast.
Melissa, thank you very much for having me. I'm honoured to be your guest today.
Oh, I'm really thrilled that we get to have this conversation. You're running a multi-award winning business, one I shop in myself for our dog. So I'm thrilled to find out a bit more about it. But before we start, in the age-old tradition of the Retail Tea Break podcast, in the time that it takes to boil a kettle, which I am told is about 2 minutes, Anthony, tell us a little bit more about you, your background in retail, and a bit more about the business.
So I was born in Sligo, the youngest of 10 children, and very happy childhood, you know, went to Summerhill College. And when I was time to sort of graduate from Summerhill, my intention was to go to university in Limerick, which was NIHE Limerick at the time, through marketing. But, you know, money was tight, so I decided to take a year out, try and save some money to help with the fees and the accommodation, etc. And I worked abroad in France picking grapes firstly. And then I came back in December, and I put my name down with Manpower, which was Foss, who are Solus now. And they needed somebody to sweep the floor in Penneys before Penneys store opened. So I got a job sweeping the floor, got on very well with David Latham, who was the store manager, Tim O'Keefe, who was the controller for Ireland. And they asked me would I like to join the management training program in Penneys. So now I'm in the retail business. And that was 33, 34, 35 years ago, and still happily here. In fact, 40 years ago, sorry, I tell a lie, 40 years ago.
Good grief. The amount of phenomenal retailers coming out of Penneys at that time who were still knocking around in the business, who are leading, I think, the retail business across Ireland right now is unbelievable, Anthony.
Yeah. I mean, look, you look at some people have worked with me, you know, I mean, John Little, who I'm meeting next week, who's the chief executive of Boohoo, other guys, you know, that are leading businesses in the US, in Europe. Yeah, phenomenally successful, great training ground, great people, and, you know, hard work, but great fun. I mean, really, honestly, great fun. And I mean,
That's what retail, I think, in its essence, Anthony, is exactly what it's about. And by the sounds of it and the conversations we've had, that's still what you want in business.
Yeah. I mean, look, I can't take myself seriously. Anybody that knows me will know that, you know. And I think I probably frustrate my staff terribly because, you know, I like to have a bit of fun. We got to get the job done. We got to get the work done. But I like to have a chat. I like to have a bit of crack, you know, a bit of fun, you know, and still get everything done. And that's the ethos behind PetStop. It is about, as we say, happy pets, happy people, you know. You know, so if we can make sure that's what we live, you know, that's the secret sauce. Really. That's what really, you know, you can be too serious about things. There's no need to be. You know, you need to get the job done. You need to have good people working alongside you. You need to have a sort of joint mission that we're all bought into the same thing, you know, and if people aren't working out, you need to set them free. It's simple as that. You know, if they're not going to gel in with the rest of the, you know, the business and the other colleagues that they have. We need to set them free, really. That's what we do.
I love that. And I'm definitely going to come back to this people aspect because I think you have a really special kind of outlook on your people. And I know they're very special to your business there in Petstock. But look, only a few weeks ago, you opened a brand new store. Congratulations there in Wexford. Looks absolutely stunning from the photos and the videos I've seen. I'll definitely go down over the next few weeks. Physical stores are, do you know what? There are a very few retailers starting to open new stores. And of course, some will say, oh, the physical store is dead. Now, you and I know that's absolutely not true. Why are physical stores so important for your brand?
I mean, it's you know, it's where the rubber hits the road. You know, for us, that's where we get to meet customers, talk to them, and you know, the physical store. While online is 25% of our business, and we're the largest online pet retailer in Ireland by you know a long mark, but it is, you know, if you look at any of the retailers across the globe that are successful, it is the ones that are, you know, that really invest in their mixed bricks and mortar business. It's the ones that, you know, look at what's happening, what's coming down the road. Look at Penneys. They don't have an online presence. You know, they're globally flying. I mean, they're doing phenomenally well in the US, phenomenally well in Europe, the UK and Ireland, you know, and lots of other retailers that are investing in physical stores. I think, you know, there's been a lot of bad press, I think, about physical retail. And I think it's a lot of it has to do with private equity companies come in, buying them up, asset stripping them, not investing in them, selling them on in 5 to 7 years' time, somebody else coming in and doing exactly the same. You know, but where the businesses like the likes of Selfridges, you know, who the Weston family bought and, you know, nurtured and moved on, you know, the really good retailers are the ones that have, you know, somebody that is really invested in them, that loves the retail game. And you know, sees a long-term future in it, because it's, you know, retail is here to stay. It's never going away.
No, I agree with you there. And gosh, you've said something there which I think was really honest of you, because not many retailers want to talk about the fact that so many businesses, retail businesses, have been bought out now. They're literally being stripped of their assets, whether that's, you know, shops not being painted, fixtures and fittings not being kind of fixed up or replaced, stock not being brought in fast enough. But you're doing the complete opposite there. You know, you're literally investing in stores. You've obviously opened this brand new location as well. It sounds like physical, and we'll definitely talk about your online presence because we know how special that is for Petstock, but physical stores for you seem to be really where you meet your customer.
It is. I mean, you know, I visit all the stores in Dublin, Kildare, Wicklow, you know, every week, and then down the country every 2 to 3 weeks. So I'm in every store at least every 3 weeks at the maximum. And you know, we have 240 staff. Do I know every single one of them by name? No, but I would know most of them. You know, I would know most of them. And I mean, the proud fact for me is that, you know, I have staff that are with me, Shirley, Suzanne, who are with me, you know, 28 years, and their children are now working in the business. You know what I mean? So it's multi-generational, and it is all about having good people, because I'm one person. You know, customers don't know me, thanks be to God, because I'd scare them away if they did. But you know, so it is all about, you know, the DNA of the business. And you know, we're lucky in that the latest store is open. And to be honest with you, it's our first real go at a high street location, and it's got off to a phenomenal start. I mean, way, way, way above our expectations, to be honest with you.
That's phenomenal, Anthony. It really is. But I think there's something quite interesting in that, that not only have you tried a new model, because again, a lot of us are used to you being, you know, slightly bigger stores, maybe slightly outside town where you pull up and park. But as you said, Wexford's so special that you can actually, you know, drive and park or walk, as an awful lot of people do around that main street in that town. And it's like old school shopping. As you said, you're popping in for your groceries, you're popping in for, you know, your pint of milk. You can run in and get your dog something. It's that old school vibe, I think Wexford is amazing at that. It's true retail, it's true shopping, it's that bringing the community together, which, We do lose a lot of the times now when we're opening different formats, but it's interesting. Was it a difficult decision for you to make to try that new format in that high street area?
Not really, because I knew Wexford well. I opened Penny's store in Wexford. I can't remember how many years ago, but a long, long time ago, 35, 36 years ago. And so I knew Wexford well, and I always liked the town. So when the unit came up, which was a former Iceland unit, I thought, okay, look, yeah, if we're going to try this format in any sort of high street, this is the location. And thankfully, we got it right. I mean, the old adage is location, 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 and it's definitely worked for us there, absolutely 100%.
Yeah, and I think that comes from you knowing your customer. You know that your team would pull it off. But also, and your story really speaks to this, you're never afraid to try something new. But for you, it sounds like a really well thought out, calculated risk to do this. And of course, if you said, only a few weeks open, and it is really paying off.
Yeah. Well, look, I'd love to tell you that we do a lot of data analytics. We do look at our customers, we look at spend, we look at, how much footage, linear footage we give to each sector of the store, what the contribution like from a sales point of view, from a margin point of view. So we do that, but a lot of it as well is gut feeling. I mean, we didn't do any major sort of demographic analysis on Wexford. I just thought this is going to work, and thankfully we're proven right. And we do, because I'm very lucky because it's a family business. We can make decisions quickly. We don't have to go through any major due diligence. If I think it's the right thing to do with my staff, with my colleagues, then we'll do it. But I will be led by them as well. I mean, I come up with some crazy ideas, and lucky enough that they're good enough to slap me down and say, right, okay, you're not doing that, forget about it. But they will let me loose on other things as well, so it's good.
But I love the fact that that trust is there. And again, I think with some retailers, it isn't, your people are very much part of your story and of Petstop's story. It isn't just about you, as you said, and it isn't just about the product or the location. It sounds like your people, though, for you personally, are definitely your biggest success story. Training, minding them, the growth in the company. How do you look after your people?
Oh, it is, it's a two-way street. I mean, at the end of the day, as I said to you, I have people that have worked with me for 28 years, 27 years, 26, 25, keep going down, right? So they are members of my family. My children, none who are working with me at the moment in the business, one guy who's threatening to join us in a year's time. But they've all grown up with my colleagues here. If I was stuck, and I needed somebody to collect somebody from school for me or whatever, if I had the kids, then they would do it for me if they needed something done. So it is a very we have a very flat organization. And I like to think the way it works is it's from the bottom up. They tell me what to do and I just do it. But we look after them, in terms of if there's ever any, we have a sort of open medical policy. Anybody needs any help from a medical point of view, we pay the expenses. If somebody is stuck for a few quid, we look after them. If they need whatever they need, they're like family members, So they're within reason, there's nothing we won't do for them. And it's vice versa. So it works both ways.
And again, I think there's something really traditional about that. It certainly was the way when I started out in retail, and I'm sure it definitely was for you, that you give a little, you get a little. And actually, if everyone's happy in the workplace, not only does the business succeed, not only do sales come flooding in, but of course the customers see it. They feel that atmosphere coming into stores. And I've absolutely no doubt that that's, a massive part of your success is your people are very loyal, they're very happy, and customers see that.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's like everything. Retail is not rocket science. It's about doing the simple things well. Paying attention to detail. Retail is detail. It is. If you have, I mean, I've gone into plenty of stores. I mean, and I've gone into cafes and what. I've walked out because the service has been atrocious. It drives me crazy. If I'm not being looked after, one of the rules when I worked in Penny's was if there's more than two people in a queue, the rule from Arthur Ryan, the chairman, was you get another till open. You get those people served, get them out the door. I was in a coffee shop recently with a friend of mine, Dan Ryan, another retailer, used to work for me in Penny's, and we walked in and there's one girl on a till trying to take an order, three or four people in a queue in front of us, three people down the back chatting, looking up at us, wouldn't come near us. We walked out. Like we waited for maybe 3 or 4 minutes and we just said, look, we'll just go somewhere else, And I would be upset if that happened in our stores. If I'm in a store and I see a customer with a bag of dog food or a bale of hay or whatever, I just pick it up off them and take it, to the check it or bring it out for them, whatever. Some people don't even realize it. What the hell is this? Does he even work here? I was in our store in Carrick Mines, sort of just after COVID, and there's this lady with a dog, and I'd walked in with Shirley, who's my retail operations lady, and we're just dressed as we are now. We didn't have any uniform on, and there's a woman looking and dog food, and I started telling you, I said, look, I started giving her a bit of advice. She had her dog with her. And then we were walking around the store as we do, up and down every aisle looking. And then we got down near the end and she looked at more dog food. And I went over to her again and she like literally, she didn't say it, but like, get away from me, you weirdo, you know what I mean? Get away, right? So we moved on, and then the store manager, Maria, rang, the person I laughed and said, a lady just rang up and said, there's two people in this in your store trying to steal my dog off me. So
Oh dear me, I tell you, I'm literally crying with laughter at that story, but isn't that it's brilliant in one sense. That poor woman freaked out on another, but that's traditional retail, Anthony, and we just don't see it. And I suppose anyone that listens to this podcast knows I bang on about it probably week in, week out. But Petstock is such a prime example of good old-fashioned retail. You talk to your customer, you watch them, you listen, but for you as the MD to be on the floor, which is so rare nowadays, you are literally leading from the front, which is so important.
Yeah, but I mean, it's tradition. I mean, when I worked in Penny's, you look at Fergal Quinn, you look at the other. I'm not comparing myself to him or Arthur or anybody else. I'm not getting ahead of myself. Yeah, but what did they do? They visited the stores, they saw what was going on. They listened to the store managers, the sales assistant. Because realistically, if you're just listening to the people that surround you in head office or whatever, you're getting one tale. Now, I can honestly tell you, my people give it to me between the eyes, good, bad, or indifferent. Because they know I'm going to find out anyway. So, and they're better off just get it out, whatever it is. There's never a problem. Let's just put it on the table and let's get it sorted, But it is walking around the stores. It is seeing what customers are putting into their baskets. It is, talking to the staff and asking them, well, what's going on or anything customers looking for that we don't have, I mean, it's none of it is rocket science. It's just pure common sense. But as somebody always says to me, it's not the common sense. It's not that common. So.
No, it's not nowadays. And actually, it then got me thinking, is that why your customers are so loyal? Because you do the basics really, really well. As you said, you listen to them. You were even telling me that you pretty much have a no quibbles return policy because you won't do that to your customers.
Yeah, I mean, look, realistically, we serve about 25,000 to 30,000 customers a week, depending on the week. So if you take it, that's, there's generally 2.5 times, somebody comes in. So you've got about 60,000 people plus coming into your stores every week. Out of that, I can honestly tell you that, it is nil. You couldn't even define it as a percentage, the number of people that would sort of are chancing their arm. Most people are not. But even if they are, I mean, it's so few. Why would you let that tiny, tiny minority ruin it for the majority of good people? And, like we had a situation there in Carrick Mines, our former store manager, Paula, who was fabulous, fabulous. lady who worked for us who's unfortunately gone back to Brazil. Every time you walked in the door, her smile met you. Didn't matter anything else. She just hit you with this smile, and like nothing else really matters. That's, I always say to people, if you're happy and you smile at people, you'll get away with murder anyway. People will be like, okay, But she was there, and a lady come in and spent maybe 150 or 200 euros on different items. And I just happened to be in the store, and the lady had called up and said, listen, when I got home, I bought a lead and a collar, but the collar wasn't there. It wasn't in the bag. And Paula said, and Paula had served this lady herself. So she went back through the cameras and looked at it and said, I gave her that lady. I said, it doesn't matter. Like, it's a 5, 10 euro collar. Just send it out to the lady. I mean, maybe she's lost along the way. It doesn't matter. Send her. So she put it in the post. And then about a week later, the lady called up Paula and said, I'm really sorry, but that collar was under the dog bed when I lifted it up. So, I'm so happy. And she spoke, she, put some stuff up online about us, like, how well she'd been looked after, and that was her mistake. But, it costs us nothing. We've got a customer for life. And how many of her friends has she told about it, And it's simple. It's easy to do. Fighting with customers, arguing about this, that, or the other. Why do it? Like, we have a no equipment money back guarantee on everything.
I love that. And again, it's the really simple things. I think customers appreciate that because it is so rare nowadays. But again, it equals loyalty. And it's what every retailer wants right now is a loyal customer, but you have it in bucket loads because of the way you treat them. But look, I can't let you go, of course, without talking to you about your incredible award-winning, we have to say award-winning, online presence. You were obviously ahead of your time getting online way back when. Has your strategy changed at all in the last few years, or are you just going as you are? Because you seem to have this really nice balance of obviously the physical stores, but also this incredible and impeccable online presence as well.
Well, thank you very much for that. I know you are a customer, so I greatly appreciate it. I really do. I mean, what we like to do, or what we try to do, is make sure that what we're doing offline, we're doing online. That it's the same. People talk about the omni-channel experience, but like just whatever we're doing, physically in the store, we want to be doing it online as well. And that is about, we have over 25,000 reviews on Trustpilot, and I can honestly tell you, it is nothing to do with me. I'm not. I did try on one or two occasions to pick orders for customers, right? And I figured out fairly quickly. Both of my sons were working during the pandemic, online helping, and I went in to collect one of them, and I said, okay, well, look, I will, I'll give you a hand. There's five or six orders left to be done. I'll give you a hand to do them. I went off and I started picking orders, and he said, Dad, just leave it, honestly, because you're going to make twice the work for. I realized, you know what? I can't pick orders. So it is down again to the staff. We've got a phenomenal team online, but it's the same ethos. But they've all of them have come up from the retail floor.
Ah, there's the key then. That really is, because it's working.
Yeah, no, and we'd say 90%+ of the orders we get in today will be delivered tomorrow. You know what I mean? And and especially during the pandemic, I mean, we were lucky that everybody put their shoulder to the wheel. I mean, it was, we went from 100 orders a day to 1,000 to 2,000. It was chaos. We were running out of our store in Airside at the time, and it was mad. But down to the staff, down to their hard work. My job was getting sandwiches, making tea, keeping them fed. That was my job during the pandemic. And doing deliveries. If somebody needed, there's a problem with delivery, I just threw it into my car, off it went, delivered out. Then it was done. You didn't have to worry about somebody didn't get their dog food. Okay, well, where did it live? Swords, grand. Put it into my car, I'll be there in 15 minutes. And then to have it, you're not looking at DPD or somebody else, because it was chaos back then anyway. So that has been our ethos. Now I'm simplifying it, and really, it's Donna, it's Damien, it's Brian, it's Louise, it's Emmett, it's Simon, it's Rachel, it's Emma, it's all these people that work in the background. a bit like the swans. They're paddling like hell. Everything looks really smooth on the surface, but it's their dedication and hard work, and again, making sure that we always look after the customer, always.
Fantastic. And you really do. And again, it's really lovely to hear you name drop so many of the team. As you've said from the beginning of this conversation, that this isn't you. You might be the face at the top of the team, but it is a very flat team. And I'd say they're all, it sounds like they're very much appreciated, which is lovely to hear. And no doubt the customer does as well. So I think it just shows that by keeping that happy team, by training them coming off the shop floor, I'd say makes a huge difference because they know the product. Therefore, it is much easier to get online and to sell it in the right way and in the way the customer wants. And as you say, then you get it delivered. It doesn't matter what happens, you get it out there and you keep that customer happy.
It's just a different delivery channel, and the way I think about online is, online back in 1999, we made a massive failure of that business, which nearly sunk the whole business. But to me, it was going back. When I was growing up in Sligo, my mother wanted meat or groceries or whatever. She'd ring the shop and said, "Could I get, 3 pound of round mince?" And the guy on his bike would come out and deliver it to Mrs. Gallery, knew. And the people in the butcher shop, Mr. Clark, he knew what my mother wanted. You know what I mean? We had a set menu every week. We knew what we were going to get for dinner every day. But again, it was knowing the customer and then delivering it to them. And that's, it's kind of come a full circle, And it is not losing sight of, at the end of the day, you're not just putting products in a box. We're trying to, make sure we're given for the high quality products that will enhance the life of pets. So that's our main ethos: happy pets, happy people. But again, making sure that if somebody gives an order, that we have the respect to thank them and make sure it goes out in the right condition. And sometimes we make a mess, and if we do, the most important thing to me is put your hand up and say, "Look, I'm sorry, that was a mistake. We didn't serve you the way we should have. Now, what can we do to sort that out?" Because that's the key. Sort it out early saves an awful lot of problems in the long run.
It absolutely does. I think we as, human beings, we all do make mistakes. And I think the customers appreciate when we put our hands up and say, look, didn't go quite right, but we will look after you, which of course you said you will, which no wonder again leads to having a really happy customer base, which is fantastic. But look, final question, because we could definitely chat about this all day. What's coming up for you and the brand over the next few months?
So I suppose the big thing is, so we've just opened Athlone in December, Wexford in March. We're a new store in Waterford, hopefully sort of the middle to the end of May. We're then looking at a new store in Nutgrove, depending on how the building work will go. And that's probably looking at maybe September, something like that. And then we're branching out something new because we're in shopping centres, we're on the high street. We're in retail parks, we have a whole mix. And we're starting, in fact, in County Mayo with Cane's, which is in Claremorris. So we're going to do our first ever shop in shop. They're doing a huge job, a whole lifestyle vibe in Claremorris. Family that have been there, highly respected business family, really great vision for the store. And they approached us, and we're quite protective of our brand, but we've decided to do a joint venture with them. So we're going to put a small pet stop into their big store, a shop in shop, and hopefully, fingers crossed, it goes well. But they're doing a really, really super job on their business there, and we're thrilled to be invited in as part of it. So watch this space. We might be opening more of them. We'll see how we get on, but it's very exciting from our point of view.
And I have to say, very excited for me personally, because I guarantee you, as you're coming to Mayo and you're only up the road from me, I will be one of the first good to come and see your new shop and shop later in the year. That is fantastic news. But again, I think it just proves that you're not happy settled with just one route to market here, that you're really pushing the boundaries. Because at the end of the day, no matter where you are, you're going to meet the customer. And I think that is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, we're lucky. We have the luxury of being able to make the decision, and does everything work out? Definitely not. But if not, we'll just change tack, we'll dust ourselves off, learn from it, and move on again.
Fantastic. Well, on that note, then, if you've enjoyed today's podcast episode, please, please, please do like and share it. Remember, you can also listen back to past Retail Tea Break podcast episodes on your favorite podcast platform or, of course, on YouTube. Connect with myself and Anthony on LinkedIn or, of course, follow PetStop across social media. And remember, you'll be able to find the show notes and the transcript and all of PetStop's details on the retailadvisor.ie. Anthony, thank you so much for your time today.
Melissa, it was a pleasure, an absolute pleasure. And good luck to everybody out there in retail land.